Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your host, Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. Just a warning to you, dear beloved listeners, this is a learning lab, so be in the learning mode. Because you have tuned into a program focused on examining sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's, the don'ts, and the prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. Tonight's program, the first half of the program, will be a program dedicated to an open forum. So go ahead and get your questions ready. Go ahead and notify all your family and friends to tune in, because we have a special guest facilitator with us this evening who will be here ready to receive your questions and hear what you have to say. So while we're making our introductions and our opening announcements, please share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. Invite them by sending a text or making a post on social media. Tell them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, it is my esteemed honor and my pleasure to present to you my co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed over 1,444 years ago, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host, facilitator, and producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And we want to say this is a special night because this is the 7th anniversary of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which began with the sister station all the way back in the year of 2015. It was actually on this date, October the 13th, 2015. And now it has a presence here on IWDM Radio. And we want to say to those who may be tuned in for the first time, we want you to know that this is your learning lab. We do invite you to ask questions, to make comments on some of the commentary that be made on the learning lab this evening. Those of you listening in by way of the Internet, as Quran has said, for you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Want to just state just a couple of things in terms of the staples for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We have as a foundation the sources, the three sources that it is that we use for a lot of the information education that we do each and every week is Al-Quran, the final revelation for all of humanity, and also the life example of the prophet in the demonstration of the revelation. And finally, last but not least, the tafsir, the clear explanation by our scholarly leader and teacher, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad, as foundation for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, just like the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And so it has been traditional that we always have an overview. And because we do have a very special guest facilitator, I'm going to ask Quran Shakir to give a very succinct overview of last week, and then we'll bring on our special guest facilitator. And as Quran has said, please have questions in mind in regards pertaining to courtship and also marriage. I know we always have questions, things we want to ask, and we want to keep the questions in regards to courtship and marriage. So with being said, go back to you, Quran.
Absolutely, that's it. You took the words out of my mouth. That's what I was going to say. It's really good to hear your voice once again. And I am going to keep this really quick and succinct. What I did was I went through the notes from last week and just came up with 10 important points I want to share with you, our listening audience. And we had last week a wonderful couple that had been married 56 years, and they came with a lot of wisdom for us. So it was a great 2 hours that we got out of them, so much wisdom, so much information. So here's what we want to say to you. Number one, they said that it's time for us to get serious about marriage and that their 56 years of marriage has taught them a lot of things. So among those things was, one, if you have a common sense approach to seeking a mate, you will find the one you need and the one you want. So that was one of the important things. Number two, struggles and pains in a relationship help to purify you, so you have to learn to be patient, to be kind, to restrain yourself. And to do that, you talk to yourself and you put different messages in your brain. Three, enter marriage with good intentions. God judges us by our intentions, and intentions offer guidance to our actions. So be intentional in all relationships, especially your marriage. They said, fall on your experience and your upbringing such that you look for someone who has similar experiences, similar upbringing, so that you can align yourself with similar values. And that while they selected one another for their looks, and they were under age 20 when they married, they highly recommend that you look at your values and make sure they are aligned. Number six, establish a common guide in Revelation to be the go-to when there are differences. So if you are Muslims, then that common guide would be your Quran. If you're Christians, that common guide would be your Bible. So you have to decide what is our common guide that we go to when there are differences in our relationship, because it offers us the neutral ground so that we can rise to our excellence from that point. Number seven, don't run from your challenges and your problems. Look at them from a different paradigm. Challenges are opportunities to grow, to get closer to the Creator, to get closer to your own self, and then to your spouse. And number eight, they say build for the family, build for your future. So the things you're doing is not just about that individual. You have to work to do something that's for the family and for the future of that family, which is also part of that community. And number nine, teach your children to be committed to marriage by modeling excellence in the relationship that you have. So let them see you come to terms when you have differences. Let them be a part of the family to make investments in the family, but teach them your values so that they understand and they are able to also be individuals who will be good mates as well. And number 10, guard your tongue in your relationship such that you're able to be forgiving, and that forgiveness is something that you want from the Creator, so you should be able to be forgiving as well, and that forgiveness in a relationship goes a long way. That's my succinct review of last week.
Alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And thank you, excellent, Quran Shakir, always with an excellent overview. And with no further ado, I'd like to bring on a special guest facilitator who really does need any introduction. He's one of our very scholarly learned imams in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad. I always consider him as a forerunner in promoting healthy male-female relations. Been doing it for many, many years, and it's always an honor to have him back as he extends his record for most appearances here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Our good brother and friend, Imam Fahim Shuaib. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. It's an honor to be here. You know, I know you are. You have your relationship with our famous brother Ali, Muhammad Ali, and every time you say every time you speak about my being on the program, it probably touches my ego too. No doubt. It's like he's the one who had the most appearances on Sports Illustrated, right? So it's like, I make a claim for having the most appearances on the Learning Lab, the Marriage Learning Lab. Alhamdulillah. It's an honor to be here. Y'all know you're my partners in time, and so it's wonderful. So it's wonderful. This is a great, an important, put it lightly, mission. And so this is just another chapter in that battle. That's like, yeah, it is a battle, and we have to keep fighting for it. So that's that. That's enough for me. I'm here.
If we're gonna have a record or a history, we always want it to be a good record or a good history that it is that we have. Of course, whatever it is that we do in the cause of Allah, you know, then we're rewarded for that. And most certainly you've made some excellent contributions outside of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that we've had on AM 360 for years, and now here on the platform IWDM Radio. And so we want you to know how much we appreciate you in terms of your devotion and commitment and giving freely of your time, because you understand how important it is. And you just heard what Quran gave in the overview. Much of that came from the Farooqs, 56 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in 56 years, you learn a lot, and you're able to give a lot just basically by practicing in the sacred institution of marriage, just from the experience of Imam Fahim.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I was like, that is obviously a book. I mean, you all went through the book, The Ripple Effect, and I can see very easily how just that. I mean, every one is a chapter. I mean, and you know, someone who has lived it for 56 years, they are the book walking. So that's very, very valuable, extremely valuable. Right.
And you know, that's not to underscore, the long term marriage that you and Yolanda Shuaib have had for 50 years. That's no small potatoes, because when you think about people, they living 50 years, but not to mention being married for 50 years. So, you know, congratulations. And I know it hasn't always been peaches and cream. Nobody will say that. The Farooqs didn't say that. I know you won't either, but
the trials and the difficulties, the challenges overcome are what ripen and mature and strengthen and wisen the marriage and move you from love to mercy. That's the very important dimension of that surah 30 ayah 21 that Allah put between your hearts, love and mercy, right? So mercy transcends love, but you got to be married and dutiful for a long time in relative terms in order to get a taste of that. Oh, this is what that feels like. Yeah. But you have to go through what you have to get through in order to get to that very reality.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, one of my favorite ayats of the Quran. Want to say to our radio listening audience, if you're tuning in a little late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed. Our special guest facilitator is Imam Fahim Shuaib. We're going to make this a Q&A session. So if you have any questions in regards to courtship and marriage, or, you know, Karan and I always have some questions or what, and questions that oftentimes we hear by members in our community and all. And we are celebrating our 7th anniversary on the exact day, October 13th, going back to the year 2015, yes. And, you know, that was with Manira Habil. And I was asked a question earlier today by a believer. Do you know, asked him, said, do you know the first person that you had invited on? I couldn't answer that question. But, I mean, of course, you popped into mind. I said, well, if Fahim was not the first, he was one among the first in terms of that. And then I want to also say to our radio listening audience, just a little backdrop. When I Allah blessed me with the idea, it was not, the intention was not to develop it into a learning lab. It was just to fill some airspace at that time on AM 360 with a mini course, and that's the way I labeled it at first. But this goes to show, you know, Brother Imam, you know we often say that we plan and Allah plan, and Allah's the best planner. But I heard our teacher, Imam Worthy Muhammad, say no. He said, we plan, Allah has already planned, and he's the best of planners. And just that little tweaking and putting already, Allah is already ahead. You know, he's not in competition with us in anything. So it was already in the plan of Allah for it to turn into a learning lab. Brother Imam.
No, absolutely. Life is constantly learning, you know, and that idea of the will of Allah, you know, it's just so much bigger than we generally understand it. But then also, he knows, and we're trying to find out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you just keep, you know, the hadith talks about those people when the prophet told him about the pen is lifted and he can drive, blah blah. And they said essentially, well, shouldn't we just depend on that? He said no. He said act and do, because Allah will make easy for the person to realize their destiny. That is, so whatever you're destined for, it's going to come quite naturally for you. So just continue to act and do, and that's when the unfolding of Allah's will for you comes about. But you have to, I say, since we're talking about that, I say, you know, you have to be relaxed and at ease and calm in your pursuit of that, you know, not trying to force things. It's sort of like, you know, not being too rigid, but also being, well, flexible is the language. Flexible, but with an eye always out for, okay, what is God trying to show me? What is God trying to guide me to? So you won't be getting in the way by always saying, well, I want it to be this way. You can have that desire, but always recognize you have to leave that space for Allah's will to, quote unquote, shine through, come through, and to guide you.
You know, Brother Imam, you said a mouthful there, and I can attest to that because I didn't have any clue. I'm serious. Allah is my witness. I had no clue as to what it was going to be like. My intent was just to fill some airspace because we had airspace at that time, and it was I was looking at 60 to 90 days of doing a mini course. Didn't have any clue as what it would be, but just as you said, you know, I just always made dua and just asked Allah to guide me in that regard. So in terms of producing, you know, the courtship and marriage learning lab, and it's still that way in terms of Allah just guiding me, you know, in that regard. So alhamdulillah, so we want to go to our radio listening audience. We want you to raise your hand. You have a question, you have a comment. We have Imam Fahim Shuaib with us, and very learned imam, forerunner in terms of promoting healthy male-female relations for many, many years. This is your opportunity to ask the question, or you might want to make a statement, and you might want him to give some commentary on that. So please, at this time, press one. If something is pressing on your mind, then you need to press one. Okay? So don't wait till the very end. You know, I don't know how much time he had with us, but he came on at the invitation of a Q&A session. So let's make sure that we ask questions and good questions. So, Karan, do we have anybody to queue at this particular time?
Yes, and we just want to remind those who are listening online, in order for you to be a part of asking questions of Imam Fahim Shuaib, then you want to come into the studio by dialing 714-816-4673 and then push 1 on your phone. We're going to go to our lines now, and we are going to 423-313. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You got a question for Imam Fahim Shuaib?
Assalamu alaikum. This is your man from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I just want to say how much between Mark and the sister and you, I know this is going to be a good program, and I just want everybody, encourage everybody to tune in. But I thank you down years. You all have really encouraged a lot of people to do and to do right. So I really appreciate that. May Almighty God bless you.
Amen.
All of you, the three of you, bless
I'm feeling that Southern soul coming through in that prayer. I'm feeling it all the way. You know what I'm saying? Sound like you've been in the war room, sister. Y'all
Alhamdulillah. May Allah
answer. May Allah give you the same.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Jemana Muhammad from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So alhamdulillah. And she's one of our core listeners, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and always, you know, calling in and complimentary and also encouraging. And you need that. I don't care how long you've been doing what you do. Okay, Karan, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Brother Imam.
No, I'm just here listening for the time I'm with you. Doing my part.
Yes, sir. Karan, anybody else with their hands up?
That was it with those with their hands up. But we do want to remind you, dear listeners, press 1 on your phone if you have a question or a comment about courtship or marriage, or if you have a statement that you want to make.
And if you want to remain anonymous and not give your name, that's fine, too. You don't want to say where you're at. But if you're a Muslim, I do ask that you extend the greetings of peace, only because Allah said we should do that. You know, Brother Imam, I guess the listeners are trying to gather themselves maybe to ask questions or maybe not ask questions. You know how Blog Talk Radio goes. Sometimes people just absorb whatever is being given, and maybe no question may come to their mind, or they don't think that they make what they have to offer is an addendum to what it is we say. So I always put that third wheel in. If what you're hearing is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you too. I'm quite sure Imam Fahim would love to hear from you also, just like Sister Jemana Muhammad just called in from Chattanooga. You know, when we talk about the sacred institution of marriage and how important it is, I think it can't be underscored that Almighty God, Allah, has established this for us. He's established it, and so He is the rightful owner of whatever it is He established. Not only what He creates, but what Allah establishes for us, and He is the one that knows best for us to realize our full potential as an individual, but also in marriage, but also in family, but also in community in Uma. He is the one that knows how to bring the human being together, but for the production, for the progression of human life. And you know, it's not by accident that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and I know that you have done some excellent khutbahs most recently. You know, we'll say here that just recently listened to one in terms of you giving insight in regards to marriage being one half of your religion, your deen. I mean, all the things that we can think of, Brother Imam, that's very, very important in the religion. You know, we look at that sacred institution of marriage as the Prophet has given it, being one half. That's 50%. That's very important, Brother Imam.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the ways to kind of simplify, and I think the idea is to conceptualize Islamic marriage in large part of what you just talked about is doing that. And so to boil it down to a sentence, marriage is the mechanism for maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is the mechanism for maturity. That is, in order for the woman to become a fully mature woman, or the female to become a fully mature woman, in order for the male to become a fully mature man, we need each other. There's a dynamic, like a chemical reaction, right? And when you put two chemicals together, then you get a third thing, whatever that might be. So in the same way, when you get the male with the female in the bond of marriage, and everything that goes with that, because there's, if we can imagine this kind of like a moving globe of activity where all the different activities and all the different demands and all the different kinds of pressures and all of that, you know, centrifugal forces, I'll even say, in that mix, because in this marriage, right, but what's happening in the process is the male is becoming more of a man and the female is becoming more of a woman, and each one of them is growing towards the ideal that Allah has for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the outworking or the byproduct, in a positive way, but I'll call it the residue of their interacting with each other is what forms community, right?
Yes.
Schools get formed, businesses get formed, you know, culture forms, you know, social institutions form. What are they coming out of? They're coming out of healthy marriages. That's what it produces. That's the byproduct of it. So the reason that we don't have the beautiful aspects of these things that we talk about, which are the residual, the byproducts of healthy marriages, is because we don't have the healthy marriages, at least not in the magnitude that they are needed to establish. So marriage is the mechanism for that maturity. And so the more we stay away from it, the more we delay the arrival of that we hope to see. And so for me, every time I think about it, where it's like, well, what are you waiting for? Whoever's not doing that and whoever's not trying to realize it in the best way, if they are married and you're not trying to make it even better, or you're not married and you're not trying to get married, and what? You know, it's like, what? If you're a Muslim. It's like, okay, what are you doing? I mean, really? Is that, okay, I ain't thinking about that. Okay, question. What are you thinking about? Man, I need to make some money. Well, that's what matrimony is, the matrix of money. You want to make some money? Get married. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage will make you make money. Yeah, or you die the death of a Darwinian failure. You know, it's like, okay, well, he wasn't fit, so he didn't survive.
No, that's beautiful, you know, Brother Imam. I like that and the mechanic in terms of maturity, because that's actually what it is. in terms of the maturity, it helps to foster the growth and the development in you to realize what has been put into your very nature. There is a natural inclination. And I think that even in the denial, some is saying, I don't need to be married. You know, I don't need a man or I don't need a woman. You know, if we have this type of mindset, where do we get that mindset from? Because it's not even in your fitra. It's instinctive. It's intuitive. It is in the very nature of the human being. So the natural inclination, a proclivity, if you will, to want to seek a mate. Allah put it there, and it's undeniable. You know, so should we be looking at the impact of the socialization and the culturation, its impact, its influence, that obviously have changed the mental attitude and the disposition of many, and even there is no exemption even for Muslims because they have taken the Shahadatain, but perhaps maybe being more influenced by, as Imam Muhammad said, the popular culture as it becomes optional. Your response, Brother Imam? Imam Fahim? Are you on mute? Can I be heard, Quran?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Brother Imam Fahim, are you still with us?
I did get cut off. No doubt it was on me.
Did you hear my question?
Yeah, I did. I heard you about the socialization, acculturation, and changing the attitudes with regard to marriage and the significance of marriage. Let me try, you know, to be brief in that, but it's just critical. Listen, to get married nowadays is revolutionary. You understand what I'm saying? It is revolutionary. It is a blow for the good side to get married, okay? And to love marriage and uphold marriage and make marriage sacred. That's the revolutionary thing right now, because there's a revolution that's going on that is doing its very best to kill natural relationships.
Yes.
Right? They want to kill all natural relationships. Right?
Oh, yes.
The relationship between parent and child, the relationship between men and women, the relationship and the meaning of the various institutions and the roles of the various institutions. That war is going on. And so people who fail to uphold the values that al-Islam has given to us and that they say that they've embraced, then they are failing their part of the battle, you know. I say, Allah knows, in service to Allah, it's not really like an option. There's no option to it. Are you serving Allah? Are you fighting in Allah's cause? You know, do you know what Allah's cause is? I mean, what is Allah's cause? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, some people think it's all about money. Some think it's all about politics. The idea is about, it's all of those things, but most importantly, it's the relationship between man and woman who are the engine for life, because the life that Allah wants to have, we are supposed to be perpetuating it in the form that He intends for it to be established. And you have to join the revolution, you know, in order to really fight. You talk about jihad. That's your jihad.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes. You know, Brother Imam, you know, powerful statement that you're making in terms of revolutionary. I think a key word because, as I recall, one of the hadiths in regards to the Shaitan, we have to mention Shaitan's name. I don't like to mention his name too much because I remember when Imam Muhammad was teaching us, even he said, when you recite Al-Fatiha, he said that, yes, he said, you have to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. He said, you have to say that. He said, because Allah instructs us in the Quran to say that before reading the Quran, the book of guidance for the human being. He says, but Shaitan don't deserve to have his name mentioned out loud. I know some of our radio listeners hearing this for the first time, but as a student of the Imam, he taught us that. And some of the Imams don't even know that, you know, so they'll start out saying that, but he said that it should be mentioned silently. So, you know, you're still saying it, but you don't have to say it aloud because he doesn't deserve that. But one of the hadiths is in terms of what it is, and I'm paraphrasing, what Shaitan delights in is breaking up marriages or actually aborting the idea or the concept of marriage. You know, this is one of the things that that the Shaitan delights in that regard. So, you know, if we have this type of mindset, this mental attitude, disposition that we have toward the sacred institution, you're absolutely on point. It's not even optional. It's what has been designed for us for the natural progression of human life. Brother Imam?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I said it, and I agree. I mean, that's what it is.
Alhamdulillah. So I want to say to our radio listeners, it's an opportunity to ask questions. Please press one. Ask a question to Quran. I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you have some questions, but Imam Fahim Shoaib, that you want to ask. Alhamdulillah.
I love what you shared, Imam Fahim. And I think as you were talking, one thing that came to my mind is, in today's time, especially with our young people, I sometimes think that we have to, for them, because of this campaign that the world has, we have to really keep in front of them the real meaning and definition of marriage. It's a term we use, but we use it from a perspective that we have. And our perspective, I think, is very different from what they have because of the exposure that they have and how marriage has been made to it really has been demonized as, you know, something that's against the human excellence, you know, like why would you need this thing that chains you, you know, those kinds of things. And so I think we have to be constantly giving definition to this marriage, to this idea of marriage from the Islamic perspective, from the Quranic perspective, such that we don't, our children don't get caught up in thinking it's okay for me to shack or it's okay for me to break God's law and be intimate with someone that I have not made a commitment to. And even making, you know, making commitment a bad thing to do. So I think we need to be on that battle, that war to do that. And so I'm interested in hearing your perspective on that. And then I have a question from one of our listening audience. They sent a question in to us. Go ahead.
Okay. Just quickly, I think, you know, I'm going to go back to the analogy or the metaphor of mechanism, right? It's a mechanism, right? Even when we talk about acculturation, when we talk about socialization, see that marriage is a part of the machinery, you know, that is designed to keep creating, you know, whatever, producing those kinds of persons, right? The institution, the role of an institution is for the instantiation of whatever the set of values may be, just like the quote-unquote democratic institutions are supposed to be for the perpetuation of democratic values, objectives, and interests. The same way with Al-Islam. Al-Islam, there are to be institutions for every one of those things that need to be in place to have Islamic civilization, right? So we have to have business institutions, you know, the four birds, right? So so when you talk about what children don't have, it's the responsibility of the generation that brought them into the world to put in place the mechanisms by which they can come into the mindset and to hold sacred the values that they would like, that those people would like to see going forward. That's what you see in the Mennonites and the Amish and the Orthodox Jews and others, right? It's like, look, we have to do, and they operate in a way that says this is not an option. The Mormons, you know, this is not an option. It's like, this is what we have to do. So when you accept that there's an option to it, then you've adopted a different set of values. You're operating from a different worldview, and you're not going to produce what the worldview that your name may claim, but you're not processing in a way that ensures that. And so I put it on the generation that gave birth to those children first, because those children, they don't have any power to produce anything. They're dependents of ours, right? So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, well, what am I doing to put that in place? Because if we don't put it in place, then what we're seeing is the natural reality that they're going to follow by default what the socialization mechanisms that are established are designed to direct them to.
Wow. That's deep. All right, so here's a question from one of our listeners. The question is, after religious compatibility, how important is compatibility in general? Why do men require a woman to be quiet about the gifts given to her by Allah, but the man does not feel comfortable with her accepting those gifts, gifts that aid others, for example, writing?
Yeah. Well, with respect for what's being said, and I know the question was just written that way, but it does also tell us something that we need to also pay attention to. And that is, you know, why do men do X, Y, Z? No, all men don't do that. I'm one of them. I don't do that, right? Maybe the men that she knows, or maybe the man in her life is that way. I don't know why they do that. And you already know with the question that it ain't right. You know that it ain't. That's why it's a question. So that's more of that maturity that I'm talking about. Listen, the horrible things that we have seen in the world. Who's the girl that got shot in the face by her father? Is that Malia or whatever her name is? I'm sorry, I don't want to just. Yeah. What's her name? Whatever, she got the Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize, and so, yeah.
Yes, Malala.
Yeah, and because she wanted an education, right? And then the clitoridomies and all the other horrible things that are done by quote-unquote males in the society, it's like, that's not God's doing. So if a Muslim male is doing that, they're not in line with what Allah has ordered. But you know, I'm speaking very quickly and briefly right here, but everything requires diagnosis, prognosis, and prescription. So I'm saying, like, a statement can be made in a general way, but in order to really do justice to whoever's involved, that's the woman and the man, there's going to have to be a diagnosis of this. What are the details of this? And so I'll limit myself to the idea of compatibility. There are at least 10 or 15 things that need to be compatible beyond the physical compatibility, if that's the first order. But the other thing is there are certain other ways, the ways that we're brought up, the way that we communicate, the way that we've been educated, you know, the way that we've been, the traditions that our family carried and lived out in both sides of our world, right? Well, somebody might have been raised in Atlanta, and somebody else was raised in California. You know, there's a set of values that need to be differentiated or understood in that situation. So there's a lot to that. But I'm thinking about trying to do a short answer. It's hard, but The idea is that the totality of it calls for more self knowledge and more knowledge of our mate in terms of, you know, how did they get to where they are, right? Because they've been socialized in a certain kind of way, and it's about knowing how those values play out. So that's a part of what's to be known. Last thing about chemistry, right? Chemistry has everything to do with, you know, the nature of the person, right? So sometimes if there's no real chemistry between the person, it has a lot to do with the way that they've been socially constructed. And that has to do with their parenting. That has to do with, you know, things that have happened in their lives. So it's not simple, but, you know, but that's the work. That's why the reward is so great when you do it, because it's not simple. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's complicated, as a trait as that might sound sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Buddy, ma'am, you know, I'm so glad that you picked up on the question and how it's actually framed. And I think, you know, I always say that generality is not the reality. Generality is not the reality. You may have had the experience in your life that's maybe irrefutable, undeniable, but you cannot come to the conclusion that that's all men and that's the way all men think. And I always try to discourage that. I don't care whether it is a man or a woman that is actually saying that. They may have had those type of experiences. And sometimes I think that we have to really assess ourselves, too, if in fact that we actually may be attracting those type of persons. And I noticed that when you use the, in terms of making reference, you said males, not men, you know, not God-conscious men. See, this is very, very important to be able to make a distinction, and, you know, because even though we may be a certain age or have been here, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're men, and even more important, God-conscious men, in terms of knowing our role and responsibility. And so we have to get it as Allah has given it to us in our role of responsibility. And the same is for women, God-conscious women, in that regard. You know, if in fact that we're being more influenced by the acculturation in all of that, and once again, Muslim men and Muslimas, we're not exempt from that, of being influenced or impact. And the Quran asked about, in terms of the children, our children are not exempt from that also. So, you know, that inward guarding consciousness, in terms of keeping the taqwa, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says, he pointed that out. That's the other half. That's the other half of the religion, you know, in terms of consciously regardful of God. And so how is it best that we can be consciously regardful of God if we are not reading the Quran as Allah is the one that is speaking to us in the communication, the information that's being disseminated in terms of who we really are and what it is that we should really be doing? I'm saying it in a statement, but I'm also, you know, wanting to get your insight on that, because I think that if by only reading the Quran once a year, and for some it's a speed read during the month of Ramadan, we really are shortchanging ourselves as believers and denying ourselves to really begin the instructions for the construction of human life. Imam Shua.
Yeah.
Imam, before you go on, I know you only have a few minutes left, so if you want to, in the course of giving the answer to that, you want to give your sum up to all of this, you can feel free to do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think both things come in this reply. Alalo's best. This is a battle. This is a war, and it's not one day. You know, it's years and years. You know, your anniversary and congratulations on that is a testimony to the fact that it takes years. And then it's very hard to measure quote unquote progress, even if you can call it that. And that's why, you know, we should not be looking for, okay, well, we can count that there have been 150 more marriages. Yay. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't know what people are going to do, what have you. So it's like, you wear yourself out, But my situation is that, you know, it is complicated. I mean, it is complicated, and I mention this often now. It does need to be emphasized and underscored many times until it becomes a part of our ethos, right? That's a part of what makes culture capable of doing what it's doing. It becomes a part of the atmosphere, and the atmosphere has to be that we have Ali. When we say Ali Imran, the Ali Imran, it's the family of Imran, right? When you look at the roots of the word that give us Ali for Ali Imran, it means skill, professionalism, qualifications. The word itself means that in order to have family, right? And it's very deep on the idea that to marry is half of the faith. I haven't worked out the exact, you know, noun, proverb, adjective aspect of this, but I know what marry is an action. Marry is a process. Marriage is a process, right? So to marry, that's an act. Okay, I got married. Okay, that is an act. Okay, yeah. Now you have to make a marriage. Now you have to make a marriage, right? Now that's a process, right?
Yes.
So it's like, so to marry, when we say that, when we incorporate it, the understanding that we are talking about marriage, it's not done until you have a marriage, right? Just because you put two bodies together, you got married. Now, two bodies for 56 years, that's a marriage, okay? And so all the process that's involved. So we have to recognize that it's a process, there is no happily ever after in that regard, right? Oh, man, if I could just get married, I'd be happily ever after. Well, okay. No, it doesn't work like that, right? You have the trials of this life until you pass away from this life, and the trials are what are constantly sources of evolution for us spiritually and morally in so many other ways. And you embrace the process. You accept the challenges. Accept it's the process, right? So essentially, that's what I just want more of us to just understand that. Look, your marriage is not a panacea. There's many things I can say in terms of trying to say what it is not. Marriage is not a panacea. All my problems will be solved if I can just find a good woman. It's just I got a good woman. I still got problems.
That's right.
And she got a good man, and she still got problems. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's how it is. I'm pretty much.
Then our challenges are not the same.
Yeah.
It's different for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because everybody needs different challenges in order in order to bring out different things, both from a toxic point of view. What I mean by that is this, is that some of us, we have, by our socialization, toxins that have gotten into us that can only be brought out by meeting the challenges that marriage confronts us with, right? And also potentialities that we have to manifest that can also only be brought out by the challenges in that mechanism called marriage that it brings out. Otherwise, there are many things about us that we will die with unresolved, or we will have talents unrealized because we never got into the marriage piece. And I got love and respect and hope and empathy for my sisters especially, but also for my brothers who are not yet married but who genuinely want to be married, but they're facing the complications that go along with today's society that make people seem to not understand or not be capable of marrying in the ways that we're talking about. So we have to keep everybody in our dua, and we have to continue to look out for the best interest of everyone who is not, who has not been able to realize that hope and that aspiration. That's, may Allah bless us to get there. Because we need it to serve Allah, but individuals need it to enjoy a much more pleasant life than the one without a mate, if that's what they desire.
I'm the design, but that's beautiful, brother. Ma'am, you know, when you were saying that, I was thinking about is the word fear, the coward's fear, but also the courageous fear, those who you forget everything and run, and sometimes you'll be running and forget it and run. But the courageous fear is face everything and rise. You say you to embellish that challenge that it presents, not only brings about the maturation, but it also allows us to be all it is that we can be. I always say that, you know, they have commercial in the Army, join the Army and be all you can be. All you have to do is get back. And then that process.
That's right.
That process in terms of the marriage process itself will enable you, you understand, because you are facing everything. When you face, you have to face those things that come in the sacred institution of marriage. It causes you to grow, to develop, and you rise. You rise. Even the elevation of your soul in all, you understand, is elevated. Mm-hmm. Your intellect is elevated. The emotional intelligence is elevated. You know, I could go on and on. What's the spiritual being? The spiritual self is elevated. All of those vital components that comprise the human being, there's an elevation. There's a graduation, if you will, in that regard. So thank you so much, Brother Imam. Yes, sir.
My
excellent.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. As you extend your record on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and I would say this, to invite our radio listening audience to really tune in on Saturday mornings. Saturday mornings, depending on where you are in the continental USA, Imam Fahim Shuaib, excellent cook, Buzz. He's been focusing on family, the importance of family, and excellent cook, Buzz, on marriage and family life. Tune in and listen, and it happens every Saturday morning. It happens at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 8 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And that number is 319-527-6176. Once again, that's 319-527-6176. You can tune in, listen in, and he invites you to make some commentary on the Kutbah. And we need more. We need more. We appreciate what we get, but we need more Kutbahs that are relative and pertinent to this sacred institution of marriage. Because if we ever going to right the wrong in society, we can go back to the foundation and what it is Allah has established in terms of relationship, and that is lineage, family, but also marriage life. Thank you so much, Brother Imam.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. We love you, brother. And may Allah bless you and Yolanda with many, many more years. Because, you know, when you handle those type of marriages, they become as a model, And sometimes people want to hear it. And that's why Karen and I was speaking with her last week to want to have more couples on, you know, and all of them don't have to be 50 years, but, you know, they may be celebrating a 40th anniversary or a 30th anniversary, 25th anniversary and on as they march on, because to get to 50, you had to you and Yolanda had to cross all those numbers.
I know we're over your time, Brother Imam,
right.
So we really appreciate
all right.
you.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
All right.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. My brother, to you, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and we thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. So we'll be looking to get Imam Fahim Shoaib, you know, again at some point, and all. We want to have Q&A sessions as much as we possibly can. And radio listening audience, you know, when we have these Q&A sessions, I do want to say we encourage you to bring your questions, you know, because a lot of times we have questions that are in our mind. We're thinking on it. We may discuss it with other people, and other people may give their opinion, and you may have your own opinion. They may tell you how they feel about it, and you may say how you feel about it. But as was said earlier, I do understand the impact of our socialization, our acculturation, and oftentimes it can impact our thinking. And one of the things I know as a student of the Imam, Imam Muhammad has said that the shaitan has influenced every segment of society, every segment of society, you know. So when we look at what Allah says in the Quran, that the shaitan will come to us from our right, from our left, from behind us, and before us. This means that the whole of the environment, Imam Muhammad said, that means the whole of the environment has been influenced by shaitan. And so it almost becomes inescapable for the influence and impact in terms of negative thinking and what it is that Allah has established for us. And we see that prevalent in society today. So I just want us to really begin to think about that. If we own the fence, or we just in denial that I don't need anybody, when Allah is telling us all throughout the Quran that He created us to be interdependent. Look that word up. It's homework assignment. That's I-N-T-E-R, dependent. We always hear about dependent and independent. Only Allah is independent. Okay, so I'll stop there. Quran, if we don't have any callers in the queue with their hands up, a question or comment, and what do we have planned for the rest of the Worship and Marriage Learning Lab?
Yes, I want to for us to look at the idea of picking up the pieces wherever you are, so whether you're in courtship or whether you're in marriage, because we've talked about this idea of recommitting or redirecting. And so as you begin to analyze your relationships, now you need to look at what do I need to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an ayat in the Quran that I'd love for us to look at, and that is Surah 3, ayat 139. Where Allah says, lose not heart, nor fall into despair, for you must gain mastery if you are true in faith. So when we look to gain mastery in our relationships, we look to be masters in picking a mate and in being a good mate, then what does that require of us to be able to do that? What if we are committed and our mate is not, or their level of commitment is not like ours, it doesn't look like ours? What do we do? How do we pick up the pieces in that? So if we could, I would love for us to talk about that and to allow our listening audience, if you have questions or comments relative to that, then press 1 on your phone and we'll get you involved in this conversation as well, because this is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And one thing that the Imam said that we keep emphasizing is that this is a battle. We are in a war, and this war is to build community life, and marriage is the bedrock of community life. We cannot shortchange our community by putting ourselves in relationships that aren't giving us a thriving opportunity for our community. So we have to all have that mindset and all be in a position to improve our community through our marriage relationships. And that includes what we train our children to do and be in their marriage relationships. So here we are at this junction where we're learning to be masterful, as Allah says, that you must gain mastery if you are true in faith. And, you know, how do we gain this mastery? Let's look at this. So I'm going to pause there just to see any comments you have just on that idea of losing not heart nor falling into despair, but gaining mastery.
Yes, you know, that's a great question in terms of mastery. And I think that to gain mastery over ourselves and the commitment, you used the word commitment. You know, I was thinking in terms of commitment, four different categories of commitment. So let's look at sacred institution of marriage in terms of commitment. You actually have four categories in commitment. You have the cop out. You have the hold out. You have the drop out, and then you have the all out. Just to give a little commentary to that, is the cop out don't have a goal, and nor are they committed to anything. So when we put that in the framework in terms of the sacred institution of marriage and having mastery over it, the compound is not looking to master anything. They're not looking to master anything because they're not going to set a goal, and nor will they be striving. This is, you can get from the Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 39. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, says in the Quran that the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. And then the next ayah, Allah says, and then soon it will be made manifest. You see, so the cop out will not put forth any effort, but the cop out has a lot of excuses, for not pursuing anything. And so when you look at the sacred institution of marriage, when you put it in that framework, it just have a lot of excuses for not having that as a goal and objective, even when Allah has established it for them. The holdout, this is where we talk about the holdout is one who has fear. And want to say this, that fear is a great paralyzer, immobilizer, and also a tranquilizer for people that will not allow them to move forward and even set goals because they fear that they won't be able to accomplish it. And once again, as Imam Fahim Shoaib so eloquently articulated in the question comments that I brought in regards to the socialization, acculturation, it has affected the minds, the mental attitude, the disposition, and actually our conduct of behavior when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage, because there's a fear. So when we look at, and the question often Quran is asked, you know, why does it seem like even Muslims don't want to get married? And oftentimes women ask the question in regards to men. And one thing that you won't get from most men is an acknowledgement there is fear, or even some women. He knows I said some. I'm not speaking in generality, but fear is the thing that holds them back. It immobilizes them where they can't and won't move forward. So they don't set that as a goal. You know, maybe they did it one time and it's like, oh, it didn't work. I'm one and done. What if that happens to me again? This is the mindset. This is the shaitan influencing the thinking. You see, what is it that you got or learned from that particular marital experience? What is it that could have been done better in terms of your part? What was it that you were looking at? when you saw Imam Fahim was speaking of chemistry. You know, chemistry is a strong mutual attraction that two people have for each other. So what was that strong mutual attraction? Was it a body part that attracted you? I'm just only asking a rhetorical question, but it's, I'm saying it for you to think about that. Chemistry can happen in other different ways, in a positive way, if you will. You're a community worker. You're a community activist. You're working in the community. Then if you see somebody that's doing that like you, that could be a strong mutual attraction that you would have toward that person, and you might want to get to know them even better. But there's something about them that's, that attracted you to them. So that's very important. So the holdout is one who holds out in terms of making a move, immobilized, paralyzed, tranquilized in terms of movement, because they fear that they won't succeed. So no sense in getting married because I know something is going to happen. And, as you know, as a wordologist, as I said, the word doubt, and the word doubt is the word out. It keeps you out, you know, out of the calls, out of the calls that Allah has. See, it's servants. You're supposed to be workers. You know, Imam Muhammad said, Ab means to worship, but it means to serve, but it means to work. You know, and if you, Abdullah, you are a servant and you are a worker for Allah. It's in gist. So we want to understand it to make the connection, you know, with even the name Abdullah. And so we look at the third commitment, which is the dropout. Now, ironically, the dropout, they will set a goal. They will set a goal. And they will get on the path to trying to accomplish the goal or objective. But this is where the challenges come in. And as I gave on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab yesterday, in terms of our young people, and it was said in the book, in terms of reacting to obstacles, Quran, I need to take a break here for just a couple of minutes. Take that over, and I'll come right back. I do apologize.
Not a problem. And so to our listening audience, if you have a question or a comment, you can push one on your phone as we talk about this important subject here of being those who are committed. So we were talking about commitment, and one of the things we want to look at then in this idea of losing not heart nor falling into despair. You must gain mastery if you are true in faith. Surah 3, ayat 139. Allah gives us this. Having this mastery, being committed, looking at this so you don't want to be those who lose the opportunity to come into your own excellence because of your fear or because of your neglect of what Allah has given you in this relationship. Now, when you're looking at what do you do to develop yourself in a relationship, so when we get to this thing of redirecting and recommitting, that's after you've already made a commitment. You made an initial commitment. And as you move into that relationship, then you begin to assess, where am I in this relationship? Am I growing? Am I personally growing? Are we growing? And that's what you look at. And so there are some common causes that you may have marital problems. So I'm going to pause because I hear that Mark is back. I'm going to let you finish, Mark, your commitment, because you were on, you did pop out, hold out, and now you were on dropout.
Dropout. And I was just enjoying your commentary there. I'll have something to say, inshallah, in regards to that. So, yeah, we had the dropout, and as I said, the dropout actually sets a goal, you know, but as I was saying, giving a strategic framework for our young people, as we were talking on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And these learning labs parallel each other, too, because often a lot of the information that we bring to that learning lab could actually be utilized in this learning lab. I gave a strategic framework and, you know, A, B, C, D. We went A, B, C, D, E. And Imam Fahim Shoaib actually mentioned it in terms of where you're at. You know, so I asked that, you know, those who's tuned in to draw a horizontal line. And to the left of that horizontal line, put the letter A. And to the right of it, put the letter B. And then draw a vertical line intersecting that line so it looks like a T or look like a cross. And at the top of that, put C, the letter C. And just to magnify that, put a couple of eyeballs there. And then put in parentheses the word C, the word C. And at the bottom of that vertical line, put the word D. And just to do this very succinctly, the A represents where you're at. Where you're at. And this is where Imam Fahim Shoaib mentioned in terms of where you're at and how you got to where you're at. But this takes us back to your socialization and also your acculturation, and that takes us back to the first social institution, which is the family life. You see, if you notice that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, the criteria, the lineage is mentioned before marriage. It is the marriage that continues the lineage. But every baby is born into the family. So the establishment of family life and family life, the extension of that is marriage life. And then Allah says, and that he has power or influence over all of that. So the C, the B represents the goal. This is where you want to get to. So if we're talking about the sacred institution of marriage being the goal, and if it was that easy, you know, Quran, where you at, and you could get to where you want to be, then everybody would be successful. Everybody would be successful. But we know that's not the case. So C is very important. The letter C is very important in what it is that we see. And you see everything, as Imam Muhammad said, that has a homonym, it actually has a relationship. So what is it that we see that are the challenges? And we spoke about that tonight in terms of the challenges that the sacred institution of marriage offers in terms of the growth and the development, the maturation, the maturity that only you can get in the sacred institution of marriage. Not the army. We said marriage. But it causes us to mature because it also requires responsibility. And responsibility is at the core of maturity, you see. So those challenges. And so what does D represent? D represents decisions. And our decisions that we have to make for the elimination or eradication of those things that block us, what we see from getting from where we at to where we want to be, it should be predicated on the Quran in terms of what it is that Allah is giving to us. We should, our decisions should always be influenced by God's guidance. And then next, it should be influenced by the one that lived the Quran. That's his messenger, his Rasulullah, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to be, our decisions have to be based and grounded in that as foundational. Very important. And I'm just giving a short version. And then you want to take each one of those points and draw an arc. You want to draw an arc from A to C, from C to B, from B to D, from D to A, where you have a circle. And that circle that brings the next letter, which is the fifth letter, which is E. E represents the effort. that's what I was talking about before I had to excuse myself here. In terms of you can only get, Allah says the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. Striving insinuates effort, work, what you work for, what you put effort for, you see. So that means that the effort that is put, you know, and the effort will be contingent upon knowing and understanding the purpose. You know, Quran was speaking about in terms of defining definition, as Imam Muhammad has said, in definition is direction. And I also have added correction to that. See, because in proper definition, it gives you the proper direction, but it also, what is incorrect, it corrects. So that's why it's so very, very important. I think I said enough in regards to that, but as this is a good strategic framework that anything can be put in there that may be presented itself as an obstacle to our children, and sometimes marriage becomes an obstacle for us, utilize that framework that I'm giving. And then you understand that, you know, where you at, and make a determination. How did you get there? Why are you at where you're at? And where is it that you want to be? B becomes your goal. But what's going to stop you from getting there is what you see. That's the letter C, but what you see. Those two eyeballs there will remind you that what is it you see. And that C represents the challenges that you're going to be confronted with. That's going to block you. See, is fear one of them? It may be. So what is the decision? And the decision should be predicated on the Quran, the guidance of God, and also on the demonstration of the Quran by the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see? And then when you make the decision that you make is not going to be any more impactful in your life than the effort that you put forward. Well, I could say a lot more about that, but I'm going to stop there on that. But the dropout, you know, and confronting with the challenges, it's not like when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. They drop out. And finally, the last of the commitments. I'm on the topic of in terms of mastery. Mm-hmm. So this one is the one that you have to ultimately become the all-out, You see, you have the comp out, you got the hold out, you got the drop out, but the all-out is the one that sets the goal, but they go all out, reach the goal. So if, in fact, that the sacred institution of marriage is your goal, you go all out. Because this is something that Allah has established for us, and this is something that Allah has said that He has made for you mates from among yourselves of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility. That was the ayat that Imam Fahim Shuai was coming from in Surah Rum of the Quran, ayat 21, Surah 30. Read it for yourself. And that Allah will put the love and mercy between your hearts, verily, and that are signs for those who reflect. There's a lot that's in that. So that's why that ayat concludes with, verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. Reflect on what? Reflect what just been said. You know. So, alhamdulillah, I'll stop there, Quran. I get wound up here sometimes, and we want to say to our radio listening audience that if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid. And in the first hour, we had as a very distinguished, esteemed guest, one of my very scholarly, learned imams, Association Imam W.D. Muhammad, Imam Fahim Shuaib. And also anything that he may have said in the first hour that you might want to ask a question or make a comment on, we invite you to press 1. Or if there's anything that Quran Shakir in terms of given ayat from the Quran in terms of what mastery looks like and how important that is. And we mentioned the word commitment. You can never be a master of anything, not even over yourself, without commitment. Anything that, in terms of achievement, it has to go through the door of commitment. I'm going to say that again. Anything that is achieved or accomplished in life, including the sacred institution of marriage, it has to go through the door of commitment. And the Quran was giving us the acronym that we've used here on the Learning Lab, CAR. CAR, it has double A in it, meaning that the C represents the commitment. The A, the first A is adjustments, because whenever you make a commitment, two people make a commitment, there's going to have to be some adjustments coming from unmarried life to married life. Adjustments have to be made. And if those adjustments can't and won't be made, maybe just unwillingly, and they needed and necessary for the survival of that relationship, and too many of those things are actually happening in terms of non-adjustment, then that second A comes into play, which is assessment. You have to assess the relationship as to where you're at. You see, you go back to that strategic formula, where you're at in the relationship. And in assessment, then you also want to establish where you want to be. What is the goal here in assessing? If the commitment was that this is what we want our relationship to be, you see, now what is it that we see as challenges that's blocking us from getting to where we want to be? I'm hoping this is making sense to us. This was on the. This is something I gave on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that I do in workshops and seminars. But this can be utilized here in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab also. Very, very important. Give it back to you, Karan. Please raise your hand.
Please raise your hand.
Hopefully that helped out a little bit.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly the perspective I wanted us to come from, and that is that we examine our relationships. So the first relationship is your relationship with yourself. What is your relationship with you? How well do you know you? How honest have you been with you about your own upbringing, your own experiences, your own values, the things you bring to the table? And then to look at your relationship with you and your creator. What is that? How does that relationship really look? Are you a Muslim because you chose to be Muslim? Or are you following that potential mate into the religion to be Muslim? Or did you do that? Follow them in to be Muslim? Or where do you find your faith? Where's your source of your own faith? You have to do that in this looking at yourself to redirect or recommit, because all of that is going to also impact your decision. When you talk about your decision in this. So you look at yourself, you look at your relationship with your creator, and then you can begin to look at your relationship with someone else that you want to bring into your fold, bring into who you are. And so you're connecting now through this, and we just went through several months of looking at our premarital questionnaire. So if you don't have the premarital questionnaire from us, you can make that request. Email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com, and we will share that with you so that you can go through those. Because in our experience, what we know is that if you're in the courtship phase of a relationship, you have to be intentional, and we mentioned that earlier. You have to be intentional with what you're doing in that search for a mate. So you're not here to have just a good time with someone. You are actually getting facts about that person because you've done this personal assessment. And so now you have to decide, okay, am I going to go forward with this once you get to understanding who they are, how their values align with your values, and whether or not you two are in the, are Christian brothers and sisters say, equally yoked or not. So if you feel yourself yoked, then now you're ready to make that commitment for marriage. And I'm saying all of this because that was the point we were making with the imam, with our Imam Fahim, is that we have to use this language with ourselves and our young people who are opting out of marriage and choosing other ways of expressing their love for someone, so to speak. And I did love in the quotation marks, because marriage is bigger than just that one feeling, that one emotion. It is truly a commitment. So in that, you have to make the commitment. And so now our subject right now is, when you get to this place where you have made the commitment, you've made some adjustments in understanding one another, you've made adjustments in dealing with one another, and that's whether you're courting or in marriage. I'm weighing both of them because this is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You've made some assessments, and I love what Brother Mark said about the assessments, and I just want to share a story that often when I'm talking to couples, I'm saying to those couples, you should do an assessment every 3 months, every 6 months, every 9 months, in your first 3 months, your first 6 months, your first 9 months, your first 12 months. And then after that, every year, do an assessment. And in that assessment, you're asking some particular things because you were intentional in that marriage. You set some intentional goals for your marriage. You are looking at a direction you're going in, then you need to assess what you expect. If you expect that relationship to be committed to God and to demonstrate that, then you need to assess, in what ways are we doing that? Are we praying together? Are we praying at all? Are we making sure that we are obeying Allah in what we do in our household? Have we established our household to be one that honors Allah? How do we do that? So you make the assessment in that, and then you decide, okay, I'm loving the direction we're going in, or we need to redirect how we do this, or we need to redirect not doing this at all. Inshallah, because when we commit to marriage, we know that divorce is the most hated allowable, then we want to go into marriage with the intention of pleasing Allah because it belongs to Him, and making it the best relationship it can be. So we don't look for easy ways out when the going gets tough. We don't look for easy ways out. We're not here to be those who cop out or drop out. We're not here to be that. We're not. And so when we make that commitment is for longevity, inshallah. So I'm saying all of that with the prayer that you hear me, dear listening audience, and that maybe I touch something with you, and you're like, I need to raise my hand because I don't agree with that, or I agree with that, but I'd like to add a caveat to it. So if you have a question or a comment about what we've shared, push one on your phone. We'd love to hear from you. There is no right or wrong here. We are servants of Allah like you, and we're coming from a perspective that Allah has given us. This is our insight. We'd love to hear yours. So push one on your phone. We'd love to hear from you.
Alhamdulillah. I'm just about ready to do that little mini survey in a few minutes. You know, you said, as we say down south, you said a mouthful of Quran, Shakir, very important points that you've actually made in going through that acronym of CAR, C-A-A-R, and all. One of the things that we have established over the years, and I got to say this because I think it's going to really help us on the courtship and marriage learning lab and the parenting family reconstruction learning lab, that the first relationship, the foundational relationship, is number one with our Lord and Creator. And I'm going to tell you why that's foundational. When we look at the relationship that we may have in terms of family, it may be parent to child, or it may be sibling to sibling, brother to brother, sister to sister, brother to sister, sister to brother, nephew to uncle, relationships in terms of relationships with our neighbors, with community members in our religious institutions, business relations or but the foundational relationship is with our Lord and Creator. That relationship is of servant to master. I want everybody to put that down, make that noteworthy. Servant to master. Who is the master? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. He is the master. Who is the servant? We are the servant. And, you know, you want to be in that relationship. You want, in that relationship, you want to be the best servant. What is the best servant? The best servant is the obedient servant. But how do you know if you're an obedient servant? If you are not ingesting and digesting God's word of communication and information to you. So that becomes foundational. That becomes foundational. Because then and only then will you uncover, be able to uncover and discover yourself, the self that Allah created. This is why it is said that we ought to love Allah and His messenger more than anybody or anything. I'm just being quiet for a few seconds to let that marinate. I'm going to say that again. That is why we are taught to love Allah and His messenger more than you love anybody or anything. Now, I know that I'm aware of that song, The Greatest Love, and it sounds so beautiful. I think Whitney Houston, she had a beautiful voice. But as I listen to that song more and more, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. She said it so beautifully, but that's not true. The greatest love of all is love your Lord and Creator that made this life possible for you. And I could say a lot about that. That's a kutbah in and of itself. I'm not going to give a kutbah because I know we have very astute and very intelligent people that's listening to this broadcast, you see. So when it is that we are actually serving Allah, we have to know as a servant, as the master gives us instructions and tells us what it is that we should do and gives us guidance. You see, so that relationship becomes the foundational relationship as to the you that Allah has created, the you plural, collectively that Allah has created us to be. And then it goes back to, in the first hour, what we was talking about in terms of the socialization, acculturation. There's a socialized you. Now, you want to relate to yourself as to who you are now. And how far are you, as a socialized being, as an acculturated being, from the being that Allah created us to be, as personified in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm hoping that I'm coming across clear. So, Quran, if I'm not clear or if I'm seemingly confusing, I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me if I'm not coming across clear. Or the radio listeners can press one. So I want to really be ingrained in our mind that this is foundational, the foundational relationship. Just take any relationship. You don't have to be husband to wife. It don't have to be family. It don't have to be neighbor. It don't have to be business. Any relationship, the foundation for any solid, stable relationship is predicated on your relationship with your Lord and Creator. And those of you who have actually seen those persons that actually got conscious or consciously regardful of God's word, will, and way, you see that in the actions, their behavior, in terms of how they are relating to their mate, how they are relating to their family, their children, how they relate to their brothers and their sisters, their nieces, their nephews, how they relate to their neighbors, how they relate to their friends, associates, business people, partners, and all. And it goes et cetera, et cetera, et cetera in that regard. So your relationship with your Lord and Creator is paramount. It's first and foremost. How do you relate as a servant? Because isn't his whole life about serving Allah? Isn't that what it's all about in terms of serving Allah? And how well you do that is going to be predicated on the communication, the information. And isn't Allah always communicating with us? But are we listening? And Allah tells us in Surah 94, I think it's the last ayah, I think it's ayah 8, and give your full attention to Allah. Give your full attention to Allah. That's what Allah said. It's not Mark Shaheed. I'm just giving you the Quran. You know, so if we don't like it, then you have to take that up with Allah, not with me. Give your full attention to Allah. And your full attention is to the message. It's referred to in the various expressions. As Imam Muhammad said, you can't translate the Quran. You can give expressions of it. Given in terms of ayats as signs, Imam Muhammad said, instructing signs. So give your full attention to the instructing signs. That's the message. That's the message. That's the message that will help us to be the best husband, the best wife, the best man, the best woman, the best mother, the best father, the best sister, the best brother, the best family member, the best neighbor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm hoping that I'm clear with that. And this time, Quran, I think it's good to check in with our radio listening audience. Now, you don't have to say anything, but you can speak volumes, but at least this little mini survey that we do every week, those of you who listen, we want to know. If you don't have a question or comment, that's fine. But the third party here is that we know we have a radio listening audience. Have there been anything that was said in the first hour with Imam Fahim Shuaib or in the second hour with Quran Shakir and myself that we've said has resonated with you? If anything has been said tonight has resonated with you while you've been listening that has been of a benefit, I'm going to count to 10 and ask you just to press 1 and hold it for 10 seconds, and I'm starting counting now. And I'm at 5, and I'm at 10. So, Quran, did we get any participation at pressing 1? Those that resonated? Okay,
yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
To get some inclusion, I would just love for somebody just to say, just in general, you don't have to say specifically, you don't have to go in detail, unless you choose to do so, Quran, and I would love to hear that. But if you'd like to just share, just in general, that you did get something that resonated with you tonight, stay in the queue. If not, you can press 1 and go out the queue. So, Quran, do we have anybody still in the queue?
We do have somebody who is still in the queue. And I will go to them. 229-460, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
My name is Amal, and I'm Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Amal, and I'm calling from Georgia. And I just want to say this is my first time listening to Learning Lab, and it has been so, so, so insightful, alhamdulillah. Thank you for taking the time and energy, and may Allah bless you.
Alhamdulillah. And may Allah bless you. What's your name again?
Amal. A-M-A-L. Amal.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for listening and even calling in and participating in our little mini survey and coming on and saying, you know, Quran and I, we have a special feeling for those who listen in for the first time and everything, and we want to encourage you to continuously listen And don't just come back by yourself. Let family members and friends and community members, wherever you are, let them know about the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Let them know how they can benefit and some of the things that you've heard tonight. This is what you get each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. So make sure you spread the word and give them the telephone number. Ask them to just call in, tune in, listen in, and they have something to say. They have opportunity to do that just as you have done. So, Karen and I, we really appreciate you listening.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Thank you. Yeah, press one and go out. See, we had a new listener tonight, Karen. And do we have anybody else in the queue there? Raise their hand.
The others pressed one and came out, but most of them are still listening. So, alhamdulillah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. I know we had Jamana Muhammad called in earlier. Alhamdulillah. So, Karen, you know, what would you like to add, you know, to that? I think that's a beautiful ayat, you know, that you had chosen in regards to that. And it's a lot to be said in regards to that. What would you like to really expound upon the importance of mastery? Because I do think that there's a correlation here in terms of, you know, becoming a master. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to start with being a good servant. A teacher once was a student, but actually a real good teacher is always a student. And you're one of our prepared educators. So you tell me if my thinking is incorrect, because I'm a student. So go ahead, teacher. Talk to us.
You know what? I think sometimes we think that mastery means that I've gotten it down and I make no errors. And it's far from that. Mastery is making the errors and getting up and doing it again, making the errors and getting up and doing it again. That's how a child masters walking. And I just told my grandson the other day, I said, you know what would happen if a bird is struggling to come out of its shell and you helped it and you broke the shell for it and let it come out? And he said, no, what? I said, it will never learn to fly because it didn't develop the muscles that it needed in order to be able to fly. It has to crack it on its own. So that's the mastery that has to happen. We have to be able to push through on our own. We have to be able to use those muscles, make the errors, get up again and try again. And we don't give up. That's the mastery. And Allah says in that ayat that you must gain mastery if you are true in faith. So if our faith is there and we believe in it, then we push for that mastery. We do not, as you said earlier, we do not forget everything and run. That is not what we do. We face everything and we rise. That's the mastery.
Facing and rising.
That is the mastery. And I think that is the challenge for us as we look at, okay, I'm picking up the pieces here, and I am going to recommit to making this work, and that means I'm going to push past those things. I'm going to master these things. If it is not killing me, it is not harmful to my soul and to my very being, if there is not a danger in it for me, then I'm going to commit to this, and I am going to make it work. And that's what we have to be about. That's so important to me, because too many of us run when the challenges come.
Yeah. I said, Takbir, Allah will Akbar. I love that. I really love that, the way you articulated it in that way. That's very, very clear, commentary and good advice to all of us. You know, we have to face the challenges in life. You know, face everything and rise, you know. the one that faces, you know, there's an old saying that said courage is not the absence of fear, but rather that there is something more important than it. I'm going to say it again. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather there is something more important than it. So oftentimes, you know, you could actually have that, you know, in terms of looking at courage. It's not the absence. You know, you ever, you know, I used to be terrified getting up in front of an audience when I was in high school and everything. And I think, Grand, you might have more knowledge about it than I do, but they listed, I think, about the 10 most things that people fear. And if I think it's in the top three. One is going, standing up before people and talking. Most people have a fear. It's like, and I had a case of the shakes. I'm like, oh, no. You know, talking about standing up and giving a talk or what. And I never forget that this one girl that I liked, her name was Valerie Webb. Never will forget her name or what. But she gave me some advice that I always cherish. You know, you have all selectives, you know, that you can choose. You know, there are certain subjects that are mandatory that you have to take, so many of English grammar, you know, science, history, and math. And those were standard things, but you have what they call electives where you could elect or select to do certain things. And she suggested to me, she said, you know what, Mark, and Valerie said, she said, I think, because when I would talk to her, I made so much sense then. Well, at least she thought I made so much sense then. I don't know, but that's what she did. I don't know, because she just liked me and I liked her, but I don't think that she was just pulling my leg. She said, I think you would do well if you would take a public speaking class. And in your other elective, take journalism. So I thought about it. I said, yeah. I followed her advice. I took a public speaking class, and I took journalism. And that's where my teacher, and she was a Caucasian teacher. Her name was Miss Hinton. Never forget. She gave so many pointers in terms of how to overcome fear and how you speak to the audience. And we had to do impromptu talking and all those type of things. And I said, wow. I said, this is not as bad as I thought it was, you know. And I got a little courage. I just had to share that story. Crap.
Well, let's
but
go
yes,
to our listening audience. So somebody pushed one. And I know we're almost at the top of the hour, so I don't want to leave anybody's voice.
No, that's right. Go to them.
Yes. So we're going to go to 219-617. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You got a question or comment?
This is Sister Halima Bilal.
Sister Halima Bilal. Welcome.
Calling from where?
How's everyone tonight?
Doing just excellent. Alhamdulillah.
I'm sorry we were late getting on tonight. We, as you know, when you take the leadership position, it's selflessness.
Yes.
So sometimes you get home late from the mosque. And we've been out all morning, me and my husband, doing duties for the Jama'ah. And that's what I want to leave with the listening audience. First of all, I would encourage everyone to make du'as, prayers, for all the leaders, the ones who are taking the leadership position. Because they need your prayers. They need to be strengthened. We need to support them in every way.
That's right.
Whatever good deed that they are doing, we need to support them. And I want to also say that in order to be a good leader, you must be a very good follower first.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You must take notes. If there's a sister taking the lead, don't be so quick to be judgmental. Don't be so quick to, you know, sit back and watch her. Watch everything that she does. From
That's
the way
right.
she dresses, from the way she speaks. That means that she's representing the Most High, first of all, and
mm-hmm.
she's supporting the Jemaah. So it's a learning experience, and you must be patient. You must be patient. Allah
mm-hmm.
says he raises us in stages and degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, as the brother mentioned, he said that when he first got out there, he was very nervous.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
too, was the same way. I, too, was the same way until Imam Kazem, Ahmed, came
mm-hmm.
to visit. And I know everyone knows Imam Kazem Ahmed. And if they don't, then perhaps they can Google him up and actually listen. He had that leadership about him.
Mm-hmm.
He was always up front. And he made everything moving clear.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he left with me was, in order to be an effective, efficient leader, you must be a good follower.
That's right.
See, a lot of people want to just be in chiefs and not be an Indian. You have to be an Indian first. And then you learn how to walk as
That's
a
right.
chief. So I'm not going to hold everyone.
Oh.
I thank Email 5
well,
and the two of you
yes.
for bringing
Halima, I am so glad to hear your voice and all. I think that, you know, it just hit me as to who you are. And I remember when Allah put it on my heart and spirit to have a honorary tribute to our beloved brother and my friend, Imam Kazem Ahmed. I did that on AM 360, and I invited about 18 people, and I think 16 or 17 showed up at the invitation, you know, family and friends, and you were one. And it was my plan. I think I did 3 hours. I took the other hour that was designated to somebody else and got their hour and still didn't have enough time and came back the next week with 2 more hours. So it was about 5 hours honorary tribute, and there were many people that called in. And so how he was viewed in the community and the outstanding work that he did. So I do want to speak to you off air, Halima, and my telephone number is not a personal or private one. I'm like Imam Kazem. You got it?
I have it, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, then give me a call at your earliest convenience. I do want to speak with you. So, alhamdulillah. All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Couldn't have had a better person to call in at the end of the Courtship and Marriage Learning
no,
Lab. It's quite a learning lab tonight, Quran Shakir, as we write. Yes, alhamdulillah. So, Quran, what would you like to leave the radio listening audience with? And, you know, I want to say this before I give it to you. You know, I don't know what's on tap for next week, and Quran will let us know. But one of the things that a few people in the STL here, I don't know about the ATL, but the STL, have been asking about in terms of doing something that talks about the benefits of marriage. I thought that
Ooh,
was...
I like that.
Yeah, the benefits of marriage. And, you know, Quran, you know, there's so much that's out
mm-hmm.
there in social media and everything. And so if it's okay with you or if you got something... more so than we can talk about that. And but this was something that was brought by more than two people. So several people was like, Brother Shahid, can you and Quran talk about the benefits of marriage? You love it? Okay. So
I love it.
So inshallah, the next week, That is what it is. Karan has agreed to this. You know, she's the host of this show also, and so she loves it. And also, we want I want to say this to our radio listening audience. As we bring up these different topics, Karan and I would love for, the expectation is that you will come to the lab. Yeah, this is your homework assignment. I want you to begin to start thinking about what do you see as a benefit in terms of being married. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's just one thing. We want you to bring it to the lab next week here on IWDM Radio. Karan, you got whatever time you need to impart whatever information and closing remarks you'd like to make. Karan?
I'm going to say what I say every week. And number one, I thank you for all that you do to bring your beautiful comments, voice, intellect to this platform. And may Allah continue to guide you in the direction that is needed as we work for the benefit of our community, because marriage is so important in our community. And then I'd like to always thank our listening audience for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We know that there are other things you could have been doing, but you chose to be present and to hear what we have to say so that we can all grow, inshallah. We pray that you've benefited from our learning lab, and if you did, we beg you, we ask you, we plead with you to tell a friend. We ask you to make comments on our social media. Bring it to the lab on Facebook and on Instagram. Just go to our social media. You'll see the post for our programming. Make a comment. That really helps us to know that we're doing something that is of benefit to our community. We ask you to stay connected with us. So even if you don't make a comment, if you have not already, go right now and like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Go right now and do that. We are Bring It to the Lab. You can just look for that. Bring It to the Lab. You'll see it. It's a little heart. We'll Bring It to the Lab in there. So do that. If you have any questions or comments, we ask you to share it on our social media, or you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. With all of that said, again, I thank you, Mark. Thank you, our listening audience, and I turn the mic back over to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, we want to say that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, and I want to say ditto to you, Karan Shakir. Each and every week, you bringing and presenting excellent commentary, insight, and wisdom that you share each and every Thursday here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I'm just so very fortunate to have a partner that have joined me on this platform in terms of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So just always want to let you know how much I appreciate you and what Allah has blessed you with. And also our radio listening audience for tuning in. As Karan said, you could have been doing other things, but you chose to be with us tonight. And hopefully you got well fed tonight, alhamdulillah, tonight with Imam Fahim Shuaib being in the first hour of special thanks school to him. And we want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. As tomorrow, Friday, is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized and who can't get out and about, they can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, for Salatul Jumu'ah. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer, as he always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. At the beginning of the week, it starts out with the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health in You Learning Lab. You really need to bring your pens and pads out for this learning lab. A lot of education in terms of the science of your health in you and everything that Allah has created. There's a science that goes along with it. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central. and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And the Sister Learning Lab, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, and yours truly, Mike Shaheed. It happens each and every Wednesday evening, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And we're still working on an outstanding publication, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Practical Applications for Various Ages. We had a wonderful learning lab yesterday. You should have tuned in as I gave a little portion of what it was that Allah blessed me with here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that's what you get each and every Wednesday. And following that is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed persons inside of our community, the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. As we had yesterday, the national commander of MAVA, the Muslim American Veterans Association, Commander Lyndon Bilal, and the vice commander, Imam Talib Sharif, who's also the resident Imam of the Nation's Mosque there in Washington, D.C., was our guest. And by the way, that leads us into make sure that you get registered for the Time to Be Grateful, as it will be held in the nation's capital this year, 2022. There's still time for you to get registered. You don't want to hear about it. You want to be about it, and you want to be there. Also, last but not least, let's support the newspaper that has supported us for many, many years, the social blood of our community, the Muslim Journal. Make sure you keep your subscription up. And if you have the wherewithal, think about somebody that you can give it as a gift to them, a family member, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, or maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many people can read the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.